Okay, good morning. So nice to see everyone. This morning, Yom HaZikaron, I'd like to explore together with you the Chazon Ha'atzamot HaYeveshot, Yechezkel's vision of the dry bones of Yechezkel. And this nevuah, this prophecy, is perhaps one of the most mysterious, cryptic prophecies in all of the Tanakh, but at the same time, it's also perhaps one of the most significant and relevant prophecies for our times, for the times that we are fortunate to be living in. The generation that saw the horrors of the Shoah and the resurrection, so to speak, of survivors, the birth or rebirth of a nation, the resurrection of a nation. This nevuah, this prophecy is so significant, so relevant, and really relevant, and really resonates with us. The dry bones of Yechezkel is perhaps one of the most mysterious and cryptic passages in the Navi, but on the other hand, one of the most significant and relevant and really resonates with us today. And since this year we did not read this particular Haftorah, normally we read this Haftorah on Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach, but this year we did not have a Shabbat Chol HaMoed. Shabbat fell out or coincided with Shvi'i Shel Pesach. I thought it would be appropriate today to look together at this nevuah, being that today is Yom HaZikaron, because this nevuah is so significant and so relevant for our day, and it resonates with us, and its message is so important today, and dafka during these days, this time period, when we reflect and we commemorate and we remember on Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, and then when we celebrate together on Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim. So take a look here at source number one. This is the Chazon Ha'atzamot HaYeveshot, Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. Comes from Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin, Psukim Aleph through Yudalid, verses 1 through 14, Yechezkel chapter 37. And the nevuah begins in a strange way, so to speak, at least for this particular sefer. The nevuah begins, Haita alai yad Hashem. The hand of Hashem was upon me. That's how this nevuah begins. Now, students of Sefer Yechezkel should already be scratching their heads and saying, well, this is very different than how every other prophecy in the Sefer begins. How does every other prophecy begin? Over and over again, we have a different introduction. The nevuah is always introduced, Vayehi Devar Hashem Elai Lemor. Right? The word of Hashem, or the words of Hashem, came to me saying, Vayehi Devar Hashem Elai Lemor. And here, very different. The style is very different, as if to suggest that this nevuah is very different than all the other prophecies of the Sefer. Here, it's not the word of Hashem that comes to Yechezkel, but here it's the hand of Hashem that comes to Yechezkel. And it doesn't just come to Yechezkel, but it happens upon him. Italai yad Hashem vayotzieni beruach Hashem. And he's swept up in this spirit of Hashem. He's taken, vayinacheni b'toch habik'ah, he's taken and placed into a valley, v'hi mele'ah atzamot. And the valley is filled with bones. So already the language, the very language of Yechezkel Perek Lamed Zayin suggests that this nevuah is different than all the other nevuot in the Sefer. And we'll see that the Navi employs this exaggerated language. It's not just a valley of bones, but it's a valley that is full of bones. And these bones are not just dry, but these bones are very dry. Okay, so there's all this dramatic language And so here, Hashem's hand happens upon Yechezkel, and he brings him into this valley. And this valley, this vast valley, is full of bones. Ve'evirani alehem saviv saviv v'inei rabot me'od al pnei habika v'inei yiveshot me'od. Again, very dramatic. He passed me over them, around and around, not just saviv once, but saviv saviv, right? Around and around. And there were many bones. V'inei rabot me'od. Again, the valley was full of bones, mele'ot, and there are many bones, rabot me'od, al pnei habika, v'hine yiveshot me'od. And they're not just dry, but they're very dry. Okay? Vayomer Eli ben Adam. And so Hashem says to him, where he's saying, Hashem said to me, son of man. Now that we should be familiar with. In many places, Hashem calls Yechezkel ben Adam. The Mefarshim explained that it's to humble him. Yechezkel is privy to all sorts of wonders and visions. So he's referred to as Ben Adam. That's not unusual. But he says to him, Ben Adam, he asks him, Hatichiena ha'atzamot ha'ele? Can these bones live? Can these bones come back to life? Can these bones be resuscitated? Can they be resurrected? Now that's strange that Hashem poses the question to Yechezkel. Now, why would he pose such a question to Yechezkel? And Yechezkel answers, V'omar, Adonai Hashem, ata yadata. God, only you know. Right? I don't know. But being that these bones are very dry, atzamot yeveshot me'od, so then there's really a question, you know, is there any life? And we'll have to ask the question, why are these bones being described as very dry? Right? Not just bones, but bones that are very dry, that have absolutely no life. Maybe there's no marrow left to these bones. So then there's a question. Is there any life potential here? Okay, and Yechezkel says, Hashem, only you know the answer. Only you know the answer to that. So then Hashem says, in Pasuk Dalet, Vayomer Eli, Hinave al hatzamot eile. Ve'amarta alehem hatzamot eile shot shimu dvar Hashem. So he's told to prophesy over these bones and say to them, bones, dry bones, hear the word of Hashem. Pasuk Hei ko amar, Hashem Elokim latzamot eile, hinei ani mivi bachem ruach v'chitem. Hashem says, I'm going to bring a ruach, a spirit into you, and you will come to life. V'natati alechem gidim, and I'm going to place sinews upon you. V'ha'aleiti alechem basar, and I'm going to place upon you flesh. V'karamti alechem or, and I'm going to place upon you skin. I'm going to coat you with skin. V'natati v'chem ruach v'chitem. I'm going to imbue you with a spirit. V'natati v'chem, give you a ruach v'chitem, and you are going to live. V'idatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. And we'll see, and we'll come back to this, that there's a process here that's being described. It's not going to all happen at once. You have these very dry bones, and Hashem is going to bring them back to life. He's going to place sinews on them, and then he's going to put flesh on them and cover them with skin, and only then place a spirit on them. And what is the ultimate purpose? What's the ultimate purpose? Oh, Vidatem ki ani Hashem. You will know that I am Hashem. That awareness. Okay, we'll see. There's another step to the process as well, that I will bring them into the land, or I will return them to their land. Okay, so we'll come back to this process, but already the Navi introduces that there are steps here. It's shlav shlav to this process. V'nibeiti kasher tzuveiti. So Yechezkel says he prophesied as he was commanded, and then, after he prophesizes, what happens? V'yikol ki navi v'nei rash v'tikrivu atzamot Etzem el atzmo. All of a sudden he hears a sound, he hears a noise, and the bones are coming together, bone to bone. The Mefarshim explained, he's hearing the clanking of the bones, okay, coming together. So after he prophesies, he actually sees or witnesses the fulfillment of this prophecy, so to speak, or at least a vision. We'll see, it's not the fulfillment of the prophecy. The fulfillment of the prophecy will come later, but he sees a vision. And we'll see that there's actually a machloket, whether what Yechezkel sees is actually happening. In other words, there are actually bones in this valley that are actually being resurrected and coming back to life. And this nivuah, this prophecy, is for him, he's witnessing it in actuality. It's really taking place. It's a mitziuti, if you will. Or the other opinion is, no, it was just a vision. It's just a mashal. It's just all an illusion that Yechezkel and many prophets experienced. Not that there were actual bones that actually came back to life, but he's just seeing a vision of bones. Okay, but he's describing now what he saw after he spoke his prophecy. This is what he saw. V'ra'iti v'inei alehem gidimu basar ala v'yikram alehem or milamala v'ruach im bahem. So he sees this process that they grow gidim, sinews, and flesh and skin, but they still don't have a spirit. V'ruach im bahem. They still don't have the spirit. V'yomer Eli hinave el haruach. So then Hashem tells him, he says, Hashem spoke to me saying, speak to the spirit, prophesy to the spirit. Hinave ben adam. Prophesy, you son of man, v'amarta el haruach, and say to the spirit, ko amar Hashem, Elokim me'arba ruchot boi haruach, ufechi baharugim ha'ele v'ichyu. He says, oh, speak to the spirit, come from all four directions, spirit, perhaps an allusion to the four corners of the earth and the ingathering of the exiles, perhaps. But speak to the spirit and tell the spirit to come from these four corners, these four directions, and enter into these harugim, right? Be blown into the harugim, so that they may come back to life, v'yichyu, and they will live again. So here it's interesting, and we'll come back to this point as well. He's referring to the bones as harugim, as those who were killed. Right? So presumably they did not die a natural death. And we'll see, when we look at the Gemara in a few moments, that there's also a machloket, not only whether this vision is just a vision, or it actually really took place in front of Yechezkel's very eyes. There's also a machloket to whom these bones belong. Who are these atzamot yeveshot? To whom did they belong, these dry bones? Okay. V'hina beiti kasher tzivani. And again, Yechezkel says, I did what I was told. I prophesied as I was commanded. V'tavo v'hem haruach v'yichyu. And their spirit entered them, and they were revived. They were resurrected. Vayamdu al raglehem, and they stood up on their feet. Chayil, chayil gadol ma'od, ma'od. Again, that exaggerated language, ma'od, ma'od. But what's a chayil? Or a chayil? Any suggestions? A legion, right? Usually a reference to a legion of soldiers or an army. Chayalim, right? Are soldiers. Chayil. So chayil, he says that they were a chayil gadol ma'od ma'od, which is also very interesting, and we'll have to come back to that point. What does it mean that they were a legion? Were they soldiers? Were they fighting somehow? Okay. Maybe that lashon, that language, is indicative of some sort of, army legion. Interesting. We'll come back to that. Vayomer Eli ben Adam. So again, Hashem said to me, son of man, ha'atzamot ha'ele kol beit Yisrael hema. We'll also come back to this expression. These bones represent all of the house of Israel. Kol Beit Yisrael Hema. So even if they belonged to a specific group of people at a specific time in history, they represent the entire house of Israel. Okay, this prophecy is for the entire Jewish nation. We'll come back to that point. They represent the entire Jewish people. Kol Beit Yisrael Hema. They speak to the resurrection of the entire Jewish nation. Hinei Omrim. They said, Yavshu atzmotenu v'avda tikvatenu. Nigzarnu lanu. Those people who said that, what, our bones are dried out. All our hope is lost. Avda tikvatenu, your ears should be ringing. That sounds somewhat familiar. Anyone familiar with that expression?
Hatikva.
Hatikva, right? Naftali Hertz Imber was drawing on this prophecy when he composed Hatikva. Okay? Now we say our hope was not lost. But here these dry bones were so dry they gave up hope. But no, here they will come back to life. That is the prophecy. That even those who gave up hope, hope was lost. We were destroyed as a nation. We were gone. We were dry bones. We were decimated. But no. So Yechezkel is told to speak to this nation that maybe gave up hope during the long exile. We'll come back to this point as well. They gave up hope and they said, Nigzarnu lanu, it's been decreed against us. Lachen hinavei ve'amart alehem. So then, Hashem tells Yechezkel, here is the prophecy. You have to prophesy and say to them, to those people. Ko amar Hashem Elokim, hinei ani poteach et kivrotechem, ve'aleiti etchem mikivrotechem ami. I am going to open your graves and raise you up from the graves, my people. And here, v'heveti etchem el admat Yisrael. I'm going to bring you back to your land, to the land of Israel. Right? Where is this nevuah taking place? It's a good question. It's in a valley in Galut. Well, you know, where was Yechezkel prophesying? Right, here is Mitoch HaBik'ah. He's in the valley. But if you look at the very beginning of the Sefer in Perek Aleph, he says, Va'ani b'toch ha-gola al nahar kvar. I was among the gola by the river Kvar. The river Kvar. He is in Bavel. Yechezkel is in Bavel. So how can he prophesy in Bavel? So the answer is, if a prophet begins his nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, if he's imbued with nevuah in Eretz Yisrael, so then he can prophesy even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So is this valley outside of Eretz Yisrael? Is it in Eretz Yisrael? So we'll come back to that point as well. But in any case, Hashem is telling him to tell these bones that were so dry that they gave up hope, that they felt that all is lost. No, Hashem is going to open up your graves and raise you up from the grave and bring you to the soil of Eretz Yisrael, El Admat Yisrael. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. And you will know that I am Hashem. Again, that being the purpose, that being the goal. Bipitchi et kivrotechem uva'aloti etchem mikivrotechem ami. When I open your graves and I raise you up out of the grave, my nation. My people. V'natati ruchi v'chem v'chitem v'inachti etchem al admatchem. And I will again place my spirit into you and you will come to life. And I will once again, he says, I will set you on your soil, place you on your land. V'idatem k'ani Hashem dibarti v'asiti ne'um Hashem. And then you will know that I am Hashem, that I have spoken and I have fulfilled. Thus is the word of Hashem. Very powerful prophecy, has a tremendous resonance with us after the Shoah, after witnessing really dry bones come back to life and build a state, return to their land, build a state on their ancestral homeland. But I'd like to take a look with you for a moment before we get into a discussion of the relevance and significance of this prophecy for our period, for the modern period, for the contemporary period, how relevant it is to Jewish history over the last century, I'd like to take a look with you at the Gemara and how Chazal read this story and how they interpreted this story and some of the traditions they had about this prophecy. So take a look here at source number 3. Okay? This is a Gemara, a passage from Perek Chelek in Masechet Sanhedrin. Of course, Perek Chelek deals extensively with the resurrection of the dead. And the Gemara there is discussing the resurrection of the dead and will the righteous return after they've been resurrected? Will they return to dust? And the Gemara in that context cites a Braita. A Braita that is very relevant to our conversation this morning, for us this morning. So the Braita begins here in source number 3, D'Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Meitim she'hechye yecheskel amdu al raglehem. The bones that were resurrected in Yechezkel's vision, that Yechezkel revived, that stood on their legs, they said Shira and died. What does it mean they said Shira? They thanked Hashem and then they died. Now the Gemara asks, what song did they sing? Mashira Amru. They're different opinions, opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. And then skip to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Emet Mashal Haya. He says, Emet, it's true. Mashal Haya. It was a mashal, a parable. Now, what does that mean? What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? So, Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya asks him, Im Emet, Lama mashal, im mashal lama emet. What do you mean? What do you mean exactly? In other words, if it's true, you said it's true, right? So if it's true, if the bones actually were resurrected in front of Yechezkel, if that was not just some vision, but it actually happened, so then what do you mean by it's a mashal, or it was a mashal, it was a parable, or an allegory, it's all a metaphor to be interpreted just metaphorically, as a prophecy, it was just a vision. V'im mashal, and if you said that it's a mashal, so then what do you mean by it's emet, it's true? Right? Ella, rather, the Gemara clarifies Rabbi Yehuda's intent. Be'emet mashal haya. In truth, it was a mashal. In truth, it was only a parable or a vision. Okay, so it would seem, based on the Gemara's clarification, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, this entire vision was just that, a vision. It did not actually happen for Yechezkel in reality, in the Mitziut. It was not Mitziuti, but it was just a vision, like many prophecies. We have a similar discussion based on a Nivuah earlier in Sefer Yechezkel, where Yechezkel is told that his beloved wife is going to die. It represents the Churban Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the Holy Temple. And he's told he's not to mourn for her. He's not allowed to mourn for her. It represents the fact that we can never really truly mourn the loss of the Churban. It amplifies the magnitude that is the Churban Beit HaMikdash. And it's an important nivuah for a number of reasons. One being that we learn many of the halachot, many of the laws related to mourning, the laws of mourning from that nivuah. But there's a whole question whether his wife actually dies, or whether that too is just a vision. Okay, so here you have this machloket. And it would seem that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the whole thing was just a vision. Okay? Now, whether Yechezkel actually sees bones resurrected, if that actually happens in the reality, in the Mitzvot, or whether it's just a vision, as we'll see, for our purposes, it doesn't matter because the Nivuah is still a Nivuah. It still has a message. And as we read, he's told to speak to the entire nation. This prophecy has relevance for the entire nation. Kol Beit Yisrael. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara clarifies it. Some say that, you know, maybe he's saying that it's both true and a mashal. But the way the Gemara seems to be clarifying his opinion, no, he's saying be'emet mashal haya. In truth, to be completely honest with you, it is all just a vision. It did not happen in the mitziyut, in the reality. Rabbi Elezer benoshel Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer. So now, it would seem, based on that reading, that there are those who argue with Rabbi Yehuda and say that it's not just a mashal. This was not just some vision or prophecy or parable or allegory, but no, this actually took place. Because Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says, Meitim shechye Yecheskel alu le'eretz Yisrael. These bones that Yecheskel resurrects, they made their way back to the land of Israel. They came to Israel. They made aliyah. V'nasu nashim, and they married women. V'holidu banim uvanot, and they had children, boys and girls. Amad Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira al raglava amar. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira gets up on his feet and says, Ani mi b'nei b'neihem. I am a descendant of those in Yechezkel's vision, of those bones that came back to life and came back to the land of Israel and were resurrected and got married and had children. I'm one of their descendants. And not just that. This is incredible. V'halalu tfilin sheniach li avi abba mehem. And this is the tefillin. He holds up the tefillin zekel, tefillin bag. He says, these are the tefillin of my great-grandfather. My grandfather, avi abba, my grandfather, great-grandfather. This is, in other words, these are the tefillin that my father's father, literally. But it could mean, you know, much earlier. This is the tefillin for my ancestor. So he had physical proof. Now the Gemara asks, Man ninhu meitim shechye. So if you say that, you know, these bones are not just some vision, some prophecy, but they actually existed. They were real bones that existed and real bones that were resurrected. So to whom did these bones belong? Who were they? The Gemara asks. Right? That's the next question. Man ninhu meitim shechye Yecheskel amar Rav. Rav said, "Elu bnei Ephraim shemanu laketz v'tau." Oh, interesting. Interesting. So, according to Rav, they were the children of Ephraim who counted. They made a calculation about when the exile should end, but made a mistake. Now, the exile that we're referring to is the Egyptian exile, referring to the Shibud Mitzrayim. And as Rashi explains, they made a mistake because instead of counting the 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, they counted the 400 years from the Brit Bein HaBeteira, the covenant between the parts, where Hashem tells Avraham that his children are going to be strangers in a strange land, they're going to be slaves in the land of Egypt. And that's when they begin their count. So according to their count, the time should have come already. They're still in Egypt. So there's this group of Bnei Ephraim that go out and what? And try to enter the land of Israel. They do so prematurely. And the pasuk that the Gemara brings here from Sefer Divrei Hayamim says that the Anshei Gat, the people of Gat, killed them. Okay? The people of Gat killed them. Now, we know that Gat was a city that belonged to whom? Who remembers? From the study of Tanakh, it was a Plishti city. It was a city of the Philistines. So you could imagine that either, you know, either they came to Eretz Yisrael. At the time it was Eretz Canaan, and then there were these Plishtim from Gat, Anshei Gat, that killed them. Maybe they were in Gat. One time I was teaching this and someone said, well, Rabbi, there are no valleys in Gat. So I said, okay, it's a good question, right? You know, presumably this prophecy is taking place in Chutz La'aretz. In Bavel, we know that Yechezkel is prophesying in Bavel. However, Hashem takes him, as we said at the beginning of the Nevuah, Hashem takes him with this wind and places him in a valley. Perhaps the valley is somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. Need not be in Gat. Maybe it's somewhere near Gat. Maybe it's, you know, the Jordan Valley. Who knows where they were attacked. This opinion is a little bit difficult because You know, besides for the fact that, the prophecy may be taking place in Chutz Laaretz, and how did the bones from Eretz Yisrael get there, and the Bnei Ephraim, if you take a look at the Pasuk, and the continuation of the Pasuk in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, it would indicate that they were killed for a different reason. But in any case, this is the tradition that Rav has in the Gemara, and it works at least with the story, with the Nevuah, with the prophecy, because we said that these bones belong to whom? Right? If you take a look back at the Nevuah, these bones, if you take a look at Pasuk Tet, right? Hashem is going to bring Ruach from the four corners into these Harugim. Harugim Ha'ele. Okay, so for Rav, yeah, it makes sense that we're talking about Harugim, people who were killed. And it's a reference to the Bnei Ephraim, that their count was premature, their cheshbon, they erred with their calculations, and so they left Egypt too early. Okay? They left Egypt too early. Okay, skip to Shmuel Amar. Shmuel said, Elu bnei adam shekafru b'tchiyat ha-meitim. These are people who don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Right? And he brings the pasuk that we read, that these atzamot represent Kol Beit Yisrael, that said what? What did they say? They said that our bones are too dry. Right? What did they say? They said, Yavshu atzmotenu, ve'ovda tikvotenu, nigzarnu lanu. So for Shmuel, it represents people who don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Rashi says, but Hashem acts above the letter of the law and still resurrects them. Hashem is still going to resurrect them. It's interesting. The Mishnah there, at the beginning of the Perek, in Perek Chelek, says that someone who does not believe in the resurrection of the dead has no chelek, has no share in the world to come. But nevertheless, Rashi explains that what Shmuel means here is that nevertheless, Hashem is telling them with this prophecy, yeah, you think that I can't resurrect the dead here, I'm going to resurrect your bones. There is a resurrection. Okay? So according to Shmuel, it represents Eilu b'nei Adam shekafru b'tchiyat ha-meitim. And he brings the pasuk from this very nevuah that we read. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Amar, Eilu b'nei Adam she'en bahen lachluchit shel mitzvah. It represents people who don't have even the slightest bit of mitzvah on them, the dampness, a tipa, even a drop of mitzvot. Okay? Represents people that, right, are not connected to Torah and mitzvot whatsoever. Shin emar, as the pasuk said, hatzamot ha-yveshot, right, shimu dvar Hashem, they're dry. They're dry. They're very dry. Yveshot ma'od. They have no connection whatsoever to Torah and mitzvot. Ein bahen lachluchit. They don't even have any like dampness, any wetness, not even a drop of mitzvot. Okay? Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, even worse. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha said, Eilu b'nei Adam shechipu et ha-heichal kulo shkatzim u-remasim. Okay? These are people who brought, and this is a reference to an earlier nevuah in Sefer Yechezkel, but this is a reference, these bones belong to people who covered the entire Heichal, the entire sanctuary of the Beit HaMikdash, with all sorts of abominations and creepy things, and brought Avodah Zarah into the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, ad kedei kach. So, one opinion says that, okay, these are people who don't have any shemetz of mitzvot, not even a tip-tipa. And then, ad kedei kach, and this is based on Yechezkel Perek Chet, where Yechezkel describes how there were those Jews who, imagine, brought Avodah Zarah into the Beit HaMikdash itself. And the Pasuk there says, Shenemar Vavo, Ve'er'e, V'hinei Kol Tavnit Remes, U'Veheima Sheketz, V'chol Gilulei Beit Yisrael, Mechuke Al Hakir Saviv. I entered and I looked and behold, there were all sorts of creepy things, animals that are not kosher, and abominable idols, and all sorts of idolatry, all manners, all forms of idolatry in the house of Israel carved into the wall. And the Pasuk says there, Al Hakir Saviv. It says there, Saviv, round and round. Saviv, Saviv. Oh, and for the Gemara, that is similar to our Nevuah, which says what? Uktiv Hatam, and it's written there in Yecheskel Perek Lamed Zion. What does it say in our Nevuah, in the vision of the dry bones? Uktiv Hatam, Vehevirani Aleim Saviv, Saviv. Hashem led me over these bones round and round. So the Gemara, you know, makes this sort of Gzeira Shava, Gzeira Shava, between Saviv, Saviv. Here. Describes how the entire Beit HaMikdash was surrounded with idolatry, covered in idolatry. And here, Yechezkel describes how he was taken all around these bones. So for Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, we're talking about people who were worshipping idols in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Just how disconnected they were. And yet, they're used, imagine, they're used as the example for the Jewish people, how we will be resurrected, we will be revived, and we will be brought back into our land. You can imagine, Ad Kedei Kach, right? Such sinners. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the last interpretation or the last opinion is that of Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Eilu Meitim Shebebigat Dura. These are the Meitim, those who died in Bikat Dura. They died al Kiddush Hashem in the valley of Dura. What is the valley of Dura? So that was in Bavel, and that's where Nebuchadnezzar had constructed a great idol and forced people to bow down to that idol. That's where the incident, the Gemara continues, where Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they went into the Kivshan Ha'esh, the fiery furnace. And it represents those who died al Kiddush Hashem. So it also makes sense, both with this description of a Bik'ah, right? Where is this valley? The Navi doesn't tell us. It's left ambiguous. Oh, so here for Rabbi Yochanan, this valley was the valley of Dura, where Nebuchadnezzar constructed this idol, and many Jews died al Kiddush Hashem and went into the fiery furnace rather than worshipping this idol, rather than bowing down to this idol. Okay? And the Gemara actually describes how it wasn't enough for Nebuchadnezzar just to kill these young men. It describes how there were young men who were very beautiful, they were very handsome, and it caused all the women, all the Kasdiot, the women of Kasdim, to become aroused. And after they were murdered, after they died, Al Kiddush Hashem, it wasn't enough just to kill them, because these women were still aroused by the beauty of these men. So it says, Tziva HaMelech Urimasum. It wasn't enough to just have them killed, but he had the bodies completely destroyed, completely decimated, trampled over, plowed over. That's what it means, Rimasum. Okay? So here we had a number of different opinions from Chazal as to who these bones belonged to. And I think all of them, all of these different opinions, all of these different traditions really shed tremendous light on the significance and relevance of this Nevuah specifically to our day. And I think you can interpret all of these different opinions in light of the last century. Now, for 2,000 years, we were dispersed. For 2,000 years, we were persecuted. For 2,000 years, we were murdered, we were killed, we died al Kiddush Hashem. And then, of course, the Shoah. And those who emerged from the Shoah, emerged as dry bones. And some of them, like Rabbi Eliezer says, some of them, afterwards, they stood on their legs and they amru shira v'metu. They sang shira, they gave praise to Hashem and died. They did not live for very long, either because of their health, either because of the trauma. Unfortunately, we know, depression and trauma. But there were those who survived as dry bones, but unfortunately they were resurrected. But they gave Shira, they thanked Hashem, and then they died. They said Shira and died. And then there were those, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there were those who survived and got married and had children, boys and girls, and built families here in the land of Israel. Right? Rabbi Eliezer, Beno Shel Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, Metim Shehechyeh Yecheskel Alu LeEretz Yisrael. They came to the land of Israel. There were those survivors who, after the camps, they looked like bones, right? But they were revived. They grew flesh and strength, and their ruach was restored in them, as the Nevuah describes. And they came to the land of Israel. Alu LeEretz Yisrael. They ascended to the land of Israel and they built families. They built a state. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira stands up and says, yeah, I'm a descendant. And here's the tefillin. Perhaps that represents those who maintained their faith after all they had gone through. Those dry bones who not only made their way to the land of Israel and built families and built a state, but also maintained their faith intact. Their faith was intact. Here's my grandfather's tefillin. You know, I think of this nevuah and this gemara here every time I see in a Holocaust museum in Yad Vashem or in the United States or in places in Europe, wherever I am, and I'll see tefillin that survived the Holocaust. I always think of this statement here of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. These are the tefillin that, you know, my grandfather smuggled through the camps. These are the tefillin that my grandfather had in Auschwitz that he hid, that people, you know, people begged him to put on. You hear stories like that. Tremendous mesirut nefesh. Yes?
Wouldn't this be reminiscent of Olei Bavel?
Could be.
Historically, that's how it happened.
Could be. Yeah, listen. This is a nevuah that has a message for eternity. All of the prophecies have a message for eternity. Was this prophecy fulfilled with the return of the exiles from Bavel? Could be.
It could have been.
Could be.
According to the Mothman, it could have been, but there was nothing by chaining was never like became what it could have been.
By its chaining was a shadow of Bayit Rishon. Okay.
Okay.
But this is talking about a resurrection. This is talking about Yemot HaMashiach. This is talking about something, you know, perhaps much larger than just the Second Commonwealth, the Shivat Zion in the days of Ezra, the Nehemiah. And I think that you can really read this Nevuah as speaking to our day in light of the last century of Jewish history and all that we've gone through, and especially these different opinions in the Gemara. Here, now you have Rav, who says it represents those who pushed a little too soon. Those who counted up or calculated the end of the exile, like the Bnei Ephraim. Right? You have people who tried at different points in Jewish history to leave the exile too soon and were not successful. You had, you know, Ma'apilim at different points in Jewish history, right? The Bnei Ephraim, as Rav describes, you also had those who, after the decree of the wandering in the Midbar for 40 years, right? There were those who tried to get into Eretz Yisrael then, and you had Mapilim, you had people who tried on ships, you know, during the British Mandate to try to get Eretz Yisrael, and their ships were turned around, people who snuck into the country illegally. You had people who tried, and it was too premature. I think you can read Rav's statement as well in light of the last century plus of Jewish history. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel said, these are people that didn't believe in Tchiyat HaMeitim. You know, even those, I hate to use the term secular Jews, but even those who, you know, don't believe in Jewish tradition, Jewish tenets of faith, Jewish beliefs. Eilu ben Adam shekafru b'tchiyat HaMeitim. You know, they too will be resurrected, so to speak. Even though they might not believe in Torah and mitzvot, they might not believe in Tchiyat HaMeitim, they still have a place. And we saw that this country was founded by those who threw off the yoke of Torah and Mitzvot, or Torah observance. We know that many of them were still, you know, very traditional in many ways, and believed certain things at least, and had an understanding of Tanakh and a knowledge of Jewish history, and were very connected. But you know, the fact that the state of Israel was really built and founded by the Chalutzim, the pioneers, who were not necessarily observant Jews, is very telling. They will be resurrected. I think that's how we can interpret Shmuel. And also Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, people who have no connection, right? She'ein behem lachluchit shel mitzvah. They don't even have a drop of Torah, right? People who are complete secularists. Right? They were resurrected and came here and built a country. Okay? Now remember, it's shlav shlav, right? First, there's going to be a physical resurrection. First, it's going to be the bones that are so dry, they're so dry, they're not connected to Torah and Mitzvot at all. But they're going to come back, they're going to stand up on their feet. Bones are going to connect with bones, like the Nevuah describes. And then the sinews, and then the flesh, and the skin, and only then the Ruach. And only then Vidatem et Hashem. Okay, so it's a process. So there's no contradiction that this land, this country, this state was built up by pioneers that were not necessarily observant Jews, were not necessarily Orthodox Jews. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka goes as far as to say there were those who, you know, the bones belonged to those who were worshipping idolatry in the Holy Temple itself, right? Not just, you know, I think we can maybe interpret this vis-a-vis our contemporary situation in the last century plus of Jewish history, not only those who are not observant, but those who are anti, right? Those who want to bring idols into the Holy Temple. Those who are not only not practicing or non-believing, but they're antagonistic to religion. I think that's how maybe we can interpret the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha based on the contemporary or modern state of Israel. That, yeah, okay. The bones of those who brought idols into the Holy Temple, imagine, Ad Kedei Kach, their bones were so dry, they were so disconnected that they were worshipping idolatry in the Holy Temple, and those bones are resurrected. And those bones serve for Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha as the message of the resurrection of the Jewish people, the resurrection of the Jewish nation. Yeah, so even those Jews who are anti, who are antagonistic to religion, who founded the state, and who, you know, some of whom still live here. You know, sometimes I'll be on a plane somewhere, coming back to Israel, and I'll sit next to nice Jew, nice person, a nice gentleman, and they serve us the meals, and he gets his meal, I get mine. He looks at his meal, he looks at mine, and he looks at me and tells me, I dafka order the non-kosher meal. So, I look at him and I smile. You know, he's trying to maybe get a rise out of me, and I say, okay, listen, we believe in free choice. There's no kfiya datit. Right? We don't believe in religious coercion. But then we'll have a nice conversation, and hopefully by the time we land in Tel Aviv, in Ben Gurion, he'll see that I'm not such a bad guy, and maybe religious people are not so bad at all. Maybe, who knows, maybe the next time he'll order the kosher meal. I'm not going to ask him to order the Mahajan meal. That's a little too much, but at least the kosher meal, maybe. I don't know. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says that these bones that represent the resurrection of a people and a nation, they come from the worst of the worst, who were so anti that they were serving idols in the Holy Temple. So yeah, it's not a conflict. It doesn't shake my faith. It's not a challenge for me that this land and this country and this state was built by those who are antagonistic to religion, to Judaism. Because that is the very message, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan says these are the Jews who died in Bikat Dura. Remember, Yechezkel refers to them as Harugim. So that would be consistent with Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation as well. These are those who died al Kiddush Hashem in the Dura Valley. And, you know, for me, this opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, it's not, as the Gemara continues, it's not just that they were killed or murdered, but Tziva HaMelech V'ramsu, the king decreed that, like, literally their corpses be destroyed, be trampled over. For me, this is evocative of the camps of Auschwitz. It wasn't enough, you know, just to kill 6 million, but they had to destroy their bodies and burn their bodies. It's the crematoria. It's, you know, it's this is Jewish history right here. So I think it's hard not to read this nevuah and this passage in the Gemara in light of the last century of Jewish history. Okay, now if you take a look just here at source number 2, this is Rashi in his commentary or in his comments to Pasuk Yud Aleph, which describes, as we said, how Yechezkel is told that this prophecy is Lekol Beit Yisrael Hema, that these bones, Ha'atzamot Ha'ela, these bones represent Kol Beit Yisrael, not just one period in history, right? But they represent, right? They may have come, according to Chazal, from, you know, literally, if we take this story literally, they may have come from different points in history, according to different opinions. But as to what they represent the entire Jewish history. He's told that these bones are Kol Beit Yisrael Hema. They represent the entire Jewish nation. Those who said we are dry, we're too dry, our bones are too dry, those who lost hope. And I've heard stories of people who survived the camps and they looked at themselves and they were skeletons. They were nothing but bones. And they asked themselves, will my body ever come back to normal? Stories of people who met up again in the deportation camps, in the displaced persons camps, and they wanted to get married, and they wondered whether they would be able to even have a normal life and have children. Right? That's what this Nevuah is saying. Speak to the house of Israel, those who felt that all hope is gone. I mean, do you think people in Auschwitz could have imagined that just a few years later there would be a state of Israel, a homeland for the Jews, a place of refuge, a place where we would live in safety and security, a place where we would have refuge and be able to seek safe harbor and refuge? Imagine. So Yechezkel is told to speak to these bones and say, these bones are the bones of the entire Jewish nation. Ha'atzamot ha'ela kol Beit Yisrael heima. Those who gave up hope, those who said our bones are too dry, how can we begin to live again after all we've suffered? And take a look at Rashi, there on Pasuk Yud Aleph, Rashi says, Remez v'dugma lekol Beit Yisrael b'tzarotam heima. This is an allusion. This is an example. This prophecy is speaking to the entire house of Israel, Bitsarotam, when they are suffering. Bitsarotam hema, sharei hem omrim, because they will have said, Yavshu atzmotenu, our bones are too dry. Ve'avda tikvatenu, we've given up hope. Nigzarnu lanu. Uman nochil l'tshua od. Those who've given up hope. Rashi says something very similar in his comments to our Gemara here. And this is an incredible nevuah. And whether this nevuah is just that, a mashal, a nevuah, just a vision that Yechezkel sees, or whether this actually happened, he actually witnessed bones that perhaps belonged to different groups throughout Jewish history. We saw the different opinions in the Gemara. This is a message for the entire Jewish nation. You know, for 2,000 years, the Jew dreamt of a return to Tzion, a return to the land of Israel. Three times a day, we daven to Hashem, facing Yerushalayim, and asked Him to speedily gather us together from the four corners of the earth to our land. We asked him to return in compassion to Yerushalayim. Never did we relinquish the deep bond with our historic homeland. Never did we stop yearning, not even for a moment. We continued to dream. And in 1948, that dream became a reality with the establishment of the State of Israel. And for me, that is the quintessential modern-day miracle. Like the fiery phoenix rising from the ashes of gas chambers and crematoria, the Jewish people, like in Yechezkel's vision, stood up. They came to life. Their sinews and flesh and skin was returned to them. Their spirit was returned to them. And they returned to their land. As the Nevuah tells us, they were brought back into their land. Their spirit was returned to them and they were brought back to their land. But it comes in Shlavim, as we saw. First, there's going to be a physical resurrection. It might even take place by secular Jews, maybe even by those who are antagonistic to religion, as we said. But there's going to be a physical return, a physical resurrection. And only then Hashem is going to imbue those bones with a spirit. And there's going to be a spiritual renaissance. And you find that's a theme and motif that repeats itself over and over again in the thought of Rav Kook. First, we're going to come to this land and develop it physically and then imbue it with a spirit. At first, we are bonim, as the Mishnah says, we build, and then we are mekadshim, then we sanctify. But we've been so fortunate in our day to literally witness this vision of the dry bones come to fruition. And not just that nevuah, but the nevuah of Zechariah, Perek Ched, in the 8th chapter of Zechariah, where he foretells how elderly men and women will once again sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, and boys and girls will play in her streets. These are my children and your grandchildren. We witnessed the restoration of a Jewish state and the resurrection of a Jewish people. A nascent nation fought for its independence, and with tremendous hashgacha, with tremendous providence, persevered. But it comes in stages. That's what this Nevuah teaches us. And I'll just end with a very powerful passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the very beginning of Masechet Brachot. Our parallel passages in the Medrash to Shir HaShirim as well. The Yerushalmi, the beginning of Brachot, relates how Rabbi Yechia Rabbah and Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta were walking in the valley of Arbel, Behada Bikat Arbel Bikritzat Dawn. You know, spoke this morning about valleys. Well, here's another valley. Here they're walking in the valley of Arbel. Those of you who know Mount Arbel, Har Arbel, maybe you've been there before. And it's just about the break of dawn, and they see the Ayelet HaShachar, Shabaka Ora. They see that the dawn is about to break. The morning star is beginning to shine. And Rabbi Chia Rabbah says to Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, he calls him Bei Rebbe, my Rabbi, Kachi Gulatan Shel Yisrael. So too will be the redemption of Yisrael, of the Jewish people. B'tchila kim'ah kim'ah. Koma shi holechet hi rabah v'olechet. It's going to be slowly, slowly, like the breaking of the dawn, but then it's going to reveal itself, this great light. I'll take any questions, comments. Otherwise, I'll wish you all a meaningful Yom HaZikaron and a happy Yom HaAtzmaut. Thank you.